This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the Unabridged Millennial, Mason Vera Payne, here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Back in March of this year, the FCC's landmark Internet privacy protection laws were rolled back. Many people wondered, how will they protect their privacy moving forward? Joining me today to explain how you can protect your privacy in this digital age is founder and CEO of Infotech, Maddie Kahn. Thanks for joining me, Maddie.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Could you tell me a little bit about the Internet privacy law, why it was rolled back? Because I hear a lot about it, but why was it important to the consumers?
Well, the Internet privacy law, which is actually, when we talk about rolling it back, let's just, before we get into the end, to clarify, it was never rolled on. So rolling it back was something that was supposed to happen and didn't happen. And what is it, basically? As we use the various services, information is gathered. Information is gathered about our purchasing patterns. Information is gathered about what we like and dislike. Information is even gathered about what we are interested or not interested when you perform a search on your web and you look for certain things. So the information is gathered is far more just like, oh, they tend to buy in this store, not in that store, oh, they like this. It's also about what you're looking for and even what you're interested in. Just when you Google things, usually people Google and put, you know, or whatever browser they use, what they're interested in. All this information is recorded. Nothing that you type on your computer, on your console, goes away. Everything is saved. Everything is recorded. And the companies found a way of making money by taking this information and selling it off. In a sense, they're selling your privacy. They're selling what you buy. They're selling what you like. And they're able, on the grander scheme, the companies, the production companies, the manufacturing companies, the marketing companies, are able to concentrate on the bigger bang for the buck, on what most of the population is interested in. On a personal basis, today we have very targeted individual marketing. It comes back to you with certain algorithm based on what you buy. You will see different pop-ups that say, hey, we offer this, we offer this. And surprisingly, many people sometimes get these pop-ups and say, that's exactly what I was interested in. It's not a coincidence. They found out what you're interested in, and now they're targeting back to you what you're interested in. So the idea was that collecting that level of information from people really invades their privacy and really tells everything about them, and let's stop it, and let's not let this information go out. And something was pushed by Democrats in Congress and in Senate, and that's where they came up with the new Internet law forbidding the big companies to sell your information for consumption purposes. That is what has been now overturned. Now they say, no, it can be sold. It's also not as black and white, oh, they're giving our information out or not, because let's face it, you have companies like Google or companies like Facebook or America Online, all these browser firms, that they, part of you subscribing and getting their services for free, you are consenting to sell your information. If you post any pictures on Facebook, you don't own those pictures anymore. Those pictures are now owned by Facebook. It's not only that you agree to share them, you're giving up your rights to them. So some of the bigger companies like Verizon, whatever, just wanted to have the same ability as those companies like Facebook and said, look, this is already done by other companies, but they are allowed to do it because that's part of their constitution and part of their service package. But we want to be able to do the same. Actually, we don't want to be stopped from doing the same. They are doing the same. The argument against that, and that's the last point, is companies like Facebook, and a lot of the Internet is free because you're paying for it in a different way. You're paying for it by allowing to use your information. Companies like Verizon, or companies, bigger companies that wanted to be prevented from doing that, they already charge for their services. So the argument against them was, well, you already get money for that. Facebook doesn't get any money, and that's why they do it. So 2 points to summarize, because it's a lot of information. Number one, it is not absolute that your information is not going to be sold, or even if the privacy law would come through, your information would have been sold anyway by a lot of companies that it's part of their business constitution, the privacy law has meant that other companies will not be able to sell you information. But be it as it may, it was reversed, and nothing basically has changed because the law never came through. The internet privacy were never constituted, and they just reversed the intention to establish the internet privacy law. So practically nothing has changed. In reality, part of the new regulation is not only that companies are allowed to sell it, but the FCC is not allowed ever in the future to introduce a bill preventing from doing that, and that's the big thing. So I think now we're facing an everlasting reality.
That's nuts. That's very unfair, and I don't like the whole double-dipping thing. If they're going to get paid for, you know, providing services, they shouldn't be able to double-dip and then sell my information. But in the same sense, if they were to give me a discount...
And a lot of people don't make the distinction. A lot of people don't make the distinction that these big companies already charge you. You know what? If they would come, Verizon would come and say, or Time Warner, all these companies would come and say, you know what? You get internet services for free, and you get cable service for free because we're going to use your information. I could see. I mean, I could see Facebook's angle on that. My issue is not so much privacy. It's business-wise, it's you put in one sentence very correctly. It is a double dipping, double and probably triple dipping.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to see all the cat videos I look at, that's fine. But I want a discount, you know.
Absolutely. And that's the argument. And a lot of people confuse it. A lot of people say, and I'm not going to take a side on this issue, but a lot of people say, oh, you know, this is the free world. This is the way it's done. Why can Facebook do it? Why can we not do it? Well, they are offering a service, and they come and tell you part of registering, you're going to get our services free. You can communicate with your friends. You can have groups. You can have all these wonderful benefits the social media offers. In return, we have the rights to the information. And we make our money and our income, a lot of it comes on marketing capability, advertising based on the information that we gather. Fine, that's an open business policy. Then you have other big companies, they already get served. They already get paid. But, you know, it is what it is.
So what I've read, and hopefully you'll clarify it, is that VPNs, virtual privacy networks, that's something that you could use to kind of protect yourself. But how does it work?
Well, let's look at a VPN. What is actually a VPN? With your permission to simplify it, I'll roll historically back. Historically, 20 years ago, we all worked in an office, and you came to work, and you turn your computer off. You work on your computer office. You turn your computer home, and you go home. And you didn't work from home on your computer. And if there was an emergency, and I still belong to that era, you got a phone call, and you ran to the office to take care of it. Then they came with part of the network, came with the concept of a private, virtual private network. It's a virtual a VPN. And what it is, it allows you, let's say that you work in the office and now you're at home, it allows you to turn your computer at home, you load a software, which is the virtual private network software, and by activating that software, you are now being pulled behind the firewall of your company. So your company is on Fifth Avenue, you live in the suburb in Long Island, and you're in Long Island, you're logging onto your computer, and by activating the software, that's why it's called virtual privacy network, because it's now as if you are working from the office. Now you've been put behind the firewall of the office. So everything, that's historically how it started. So actually, that is still, by the way, how most people and most corporate America uses it, is for people logging in from home. And what it provides them, that usually the corporate security is much better than your home security. So by folding behind the firewall of the company, even though you're working remotely, you're less exposed to security issues, to violation issues, to hacking issues. Because in order to hack you, you're no longer working at home. You're not covered by that firewall that surrounds your company that is remote. This is really what it came out for. Then over time, people started selling it as a service and said, look, if you want to be more secure, come under our VPN. And here's a password. For X fees amount, you will work behind our firewall, and especially as hacking and security violations increase, you will be more protected. And more people are concerned just working on the Internet from home, and they prefer logging into a VPN. And what they're buying an extra security layer around their system. Now, bear in mind, it is as good as the company you're logging into. So if you buy or subscribe to a VPN service of a company that is not that secure, you are now not as secure. You're secure as the company you're logging into. It's like working in your house in the suburb in some place that is not that protected, and you say, you know, I like to work in the city in my parents' house. It's far more protected. And in a second, you are being transferred to your parents' house in a much more protected environment. That's how this concept started. But it is as good as the place you log into.
Okay, so is that something you just Google, like, hey, VPNs, something for consumers? Like, you just Google it? Or what kind of features should I be looking for in a VPN?
Well, somebody first has to ask themselves, do they really need a VPN service? I think it's more hype than I think personal computers are very protected today. And I personally think that one of the problems with if you start going to VPN services publicly is that they are much more targeted from hacking point of view. If you have your personal computer and you're sitting at home and you probably have a good bandwidth through your local cable company or your satellite dish, and you have your firewall and the typical antivirus packages, you're probably less at risk because you're probably far less of a target. Hackers today, hacking started as an individual thing where individual people were hacked. It still happens, of course, but today the major target of hackers are really big organizations, big consumers. You get much more bang for the buck. If you violate the security of a company, you don't get information about one person, you get information about 50,000 people. So one really needs to ask themselves, do they need a VPN? And we can talk further about it because there's also issues of performance with VPN. When you work on your computer at home, on your internet browser, you're connected to your browser, and you work at the speed of your browser, and if you have good connectivity, you work well. When you go on a VPN, you go through several networks, several stations from A to B, B to C, C to D, and so on. And we all know that every system works as fast as its lowest component. So if somewhere along the way there is a small chunk, all of a sudden your service is much slower. And last point, also the VPN itself requires resources. I mean, it's to simplify it, it's a software that runs, so that takes more space. So one really needs to ask themselves, beside the hype, do they really need a VPN service?
That's a good question. Why would you need one, though? I mean, again, like in my case, I don't really go anywhere on the internet, but I do pay a lot of my bills. I mean, wouldn't I need one then?
Well, again, VPN services, what do they need? Let's see. One thing, people who work remotely, it's not an option. They must have a VPN, and they're usually also dictated which VPN that they use, and it will be the VPN that their employer uses, and that employer will give them a software to load to the computer, will give them access codes, will give them passwords to put them behind the firewall of the company. And this is still the majority of VPN users are people who work remotely. There is another group, as less popular, there are certain services on the Internet which you can only get them through a VPN service. One of them you may have heard about, Tor, the dark Internet, what it's called. In order to hook into the dark Internet, the only way you can go into the dark Internet is a VPN service. But I don't think most people go to the dark Internet. Still, a very small portion of the population knows how to even access the dark Internet, though it is a growing thing, and there's been several attempts to outlaw it because everything goes on the dark Internet. And other than this, if somebody has a computer and they feel that their antivirus is not strong enough or their local protection is not strong enough, then let me hook up to somebody who offers VPN service, and they already paid for the security features, so they will pull me under their umbrella and I will be protected. So that has been a hype lately, and we'll see how successful it is.
Okay, so let's say you decide I'm going to get a VPN. What stops these companies or the software from selling your information like anybody else?
Nothing. the good word, if you want to believe it, and I'm not me. I am being sarcastic, but I'm not making any propositions here. But yes, once you are working on a VPN underneath the network, that local administrators, whoever manages the network, they see everything that you do. They see now like the other. It's just another tool to collect information about your consumption habits. But they see everything, and they may see things, maybe you have some private habits that every individual has a right to have, whether the public likes it or not. You know, they like to see certain things. of a pornographic nature, of a, I don't know what kind of nature, private nature, interest nature, unpopular items to look at. It's a free world. People can look at whatever they want to. But if you do it on a VPN now, you are sharing that information with somebody else. You can argue, but with no internet privacy law, in a sense, everybody knows it, but you're just going with a smaller group when you go on a VPN, and that information can also be sold. But nothing prevents it. They, of course, say they will not do it, and they will keep it, and yada, yada. You got to make sure they say it, by the way, because some of them will put it in part, as I said, as the business constitution, that they actually make money off it. But then we go to the back to the old double-dipping concept. I truly believe that when somebody provides you a free service, they have a business right to claim, look, we're not making money on it, but we are investing. We want to recoup somehow. But I don't see companies who charge good money for the service getting the right to double dip like that, as you said.
So what can you do if you don't want your information to be out there like that? I mean, what can you do then to protect your own privacy?
You know, it's the old joke about how to keep a secret. One is dead. sorry about the analogy, but really not much. We live in an open world. I mean, the Internet is really the best reference to the Internet today is the Wild Wild West. I don't think people understand how everything is open. I mean, I was interviewed, I think, about 2 years ago, if you recall the famous website AshleyMadison.com.
Yes.
And about these guys who sold the information. For God's sake, people were not only putting the fact that they are not loyal to their partners, they were putting their sexual and personal preferences on the Internet, on that site. They thought it safer, instead of using their own Gmail, to keep all the communication that they had, all the infidelities and their preferences on that website. And they thought that that one line that provided there, that your information is safe with us, does it. But I always say, if you're going to put anything on the Internet, you always must think in the back of your mind, this will be public one day. Never put anything out there that you don't want to be public one day, because you are working on somebody else's desk. The Internet is somebody else's desk, and you're working, and somebody else is recording, and everything is recorded. Everything is being saved and recorded. People still use text messaging, which is unencrypted, as opposed to we have a lot of systems like WhatsApp and Viber and other encrypted services, which are great, by the way, far better than using the typical text messaging. You know, if you want something to be kept confidential, you know, you use a Texas Instruments, I think, what it was, a basic calculator, better go back to the Chinese calculating board, you know, the one with the, I forgot how it's called, the one with the rings, the one we were shown in the third grade. I mean, that's not, but everything... Nothing is protected, and even if it is protected, everything is sooner or later hackable.
For those that are listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can go to either do a search under my name, which is Matti Kahn, M-A-T-T-I, last name Kahn, K-O-N, or you can go and do a search on the Infotech Solutions for Business. Again, that's Infotech Solutions for Business. We're located in Manhattan. We offer these services, and we can also refer you, if you're not in our area, to proper providers on that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Matti. I really appreciate you being here.
And thanks for having me on the program. It was an interesting discussion.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.